Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is the gospel lesson from John chapter 6, verses 51 through 69. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. We've spent a little time lately in John chapter 6, and Jesus is now taking his flock from heavenly bread that sustains in this life to heavenly bread that endures unto eternal life. From what is this manna to I am the bread of life. Verse 51, Jesus simply says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. As Jesus is now pushing his hearers out of their stomachs to their God. For while Jesus once said bread, artos, he now says flesh, sarx. When he once said eat, phago, he now says feed, troga. And now he adds not just his flesh, but his blood. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And there is much debate in the church on this text as to whether it is sacramental or not. But what we must admit is there is a twofold eating in Jesus. First, there is the eating of the bread of life that happens by faith whenever we hear his word and believe it. This is inwardly digesting the word of God that is given through faith alone. This is the eating that the church father Augustine meant when he said, believe and you have eaten. Then there is the eating of Christ's flesh and the drinking of his blood, which happens with the mouth in the sacrament. Again, only received by faith. And this twofold eating is inseparable, as the word is from the flesh in Christ. This confession causes division, and I hope you notice I didn't say might cause division. It causes division. Just as surely as it did at Capernaum, it will for us this day. The Jews disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And you, I hope, remember a couple of weeks ago when I told you it's not important how Jesus does something, but that Jesus does something. Our text clearly shows where faith and reason have to go to war. Faith says Jesus said, therefore it is. No question as to how, why, or what. And yet our sinful nature, guiding our sinful reason, has to ask, on the other hand, I want to know. I want to know how, I want to know why, and I want to know what. I have a favorite Luther quote for this text. And I hope it doesn't become old for you guys. But Luther puts it this way. Whoever wants to be a Christian and apprehend the articles of the Christian faith must not consult reason and mind how a doctrine sounds and whether it is consistent with reason. He must say forthwith, I do not care whether it agrees with reason or not. All I must know is whether or not it is supported by God's word. This I ask. Did God say it? That decides it for me. You see, both reason and faith must be constrained by the Word of God. And for the times that we have let either reason or wrong faith run wild, letting them have their way with us apart from the Word of God, we must repent. You know what I mean, though, right? Letting reason and wrong faith. It's when we decide we'll do whatever we want to do because it makes me happy, instead of what God's word declares for us to do, whether it makes us happy or not. It's when we put our own feelings and wants and desires in front of God's commands. It's when we decide, well, that a little adultery is okay as long as it's only with the eyes and not the hands. or that a little lying's all right, or a little murder, as long as you don't actually kill the person, you can speak ill of that person. These sins just flow right out of us like water running down a hill. And for all of these, we must repent. We must repent as we did today and pray and rejoice then in the forgiveness that Christ offers. You see, our text today is given for you. And Jesus is not teaching us to become cannibals. The early Romans accused Christians of being cannibals. And even some of our Reformed friends in Christianity today still accuse those who believe and confess Christ's real presence in the Lord's Supper, well, to be cannibals. In fact, they not only let their reason get in the way of what the Word of God says on the Lord's Supper, but they do the same with His presence in Holy Baptism and the efficacy of His Word. You see, Jesus is not offering to butcher Himself and serve Himself up for supper like some charcuterie. Rather, Jesus is offering His divine flesh and blood. How He does it, He doesn't bother to tell us. What He does say is, whoever feeds on My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For My flesh is true food and My blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on My flesh and drinks My blood abides in Me and I in him. And while we might think that bread is safe to use as a metaphor, I mean, how can something so common be divisive? Here comes the point with Jesus where metaphor must give way to the real thing. Where bread talk must give way to flesh talk and blood talk. That point for Jesus comes in our gospel today. Now remember, John began his gospel, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." He is the eternal divine Word become human flesh. In Him, God became man, and our reason and unbelief may drive no wedge between the Word and the flesh of Jesus. Or for that matter, between our believing and our eating, our faith and our mouth. Listen to our own confessions. Faith is not mere spiritualized reflection about Jesus. From the small card articles, "We must firmly hold that God grants His Spirit or grace to no one except through or with the preceding outward word. This protects us from the enthusiast." Now, I don't want to confuse you with enthusiast, because some people will say, what's wrong with being excited, right? But an enthusiast is someone who, well, our confessions, the Reader's Edition puts it this way: "The soul who boasts that they have the Spirit without or before the Word." Those are the enthusiasts. Those who speak highly of their faith without faith. They judge Scripture or the spoken Word and explain and stretch it to their pleasure. Therefore, we must constantly maintain this point. God does not want to deal with us in any other way than through the spoken Word and the sacraments. Whatever is praised as from the Spirit without the Word and sacraments, please hear this, whatever is praised as from the Spirit without the Word and the sacraments, that baptism and the Lord's Supper, is the devil himself. Small card articles, Article 3. Believing and eating the Word and Christ's flesh must be held together. We may not speak of believing in Christ apart from eating that goes on in the Lord's Supper. Nor may we speak of eating in the Lord's Supper apart from believing in Christ. Furthermore, any Jesus you cannot eat is not the Jesus who preached in Capernaum, who hung on a cross for your and my sins, who rose from the dead on the third day, who ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, nor the Jesus who will come on the last day to raise the living and the dead. At His words, offense was taken. But Jesus, knowing in Himself that His disciples were grumbling about this, He said to them, Do you take offense at this? It's Jesus kind of saying, if this is too much for you, what about the rest of the faith that you're being called to? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and flesh, are spirit and life, excuse me. But there are some of you who do not believe. And yet the word never returns void. It always accomplishes the purpose for which God has sent it. On this day at Capernaum, the word was sent to strengthen those who have ears to hear and to prune away those who do not. But why am I spending so much time on Jesus' flesh and blood? Doesn't Jesus say in that spot that the flesh is of no avail? The flesh that Jesus is referring to in this text at that point is not his flesh, but ours. His flesh is the bread of life. Our flesh, on the other hand, is dead in sin, turned away from God and his word. All our flesh can do is die, stay dead. This is why Jesus came. He came to take our death into his living flesh and to give us his life-giving word, flesh and blood. Division came because of this sermon. This scandal, you see, though, is repeated every time the Lord's Supper is given. While our reason will question how a fragile thin wafer of bread can bring his flesh, and how a little bitty thimble-sized cup of wine can bring his blood, Jesus doesn't bother to tell us. He simply says, "For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink." We can theorize all kinds of elaborate explanations. We can spiritualize and philosophize and theologize and categorize and rationalize, but it's all lies. Nevertheless, Jesus never offers any explanation. He simply says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." He gives his flesh and blood to eat and to drink, not to understand and explain away. How did he do it? You know how he did it. He did it by taking bread into his hands on the night that he was betrayed and giving thanks to God and saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." He did it by taking the cup of wine in his soon-to-be nail-pierced hands and after giving thanks saying, "Take, drink, this is my blood." By commanding his apostles and all who will follow from that point on, "Do this in remembrance of me." He did it by giving his flesh and blood on the cross for our sins, by rising from the dead on the third day, by ascending into heaven and sitting at the right hand of God. That is how he can give us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink. He's God. He is the crucified, risen, and glorified Son of God and Son of Man. Feed on him, and you have life. The life of his flesh and his blood at work in you. Feed on him, and he will raise you up on the last day, for he will not deny his own flesh and blood. Feed on him, and he will remain in you, and you in him. For his flesh is real food, and his blood is real drink, that you may live now and forever. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.